This morning we continue our series, taking a look at our lives and our faith when our plans change. Now, some of the plans that we've talked about the last couple of weeks, you would say come from external sources, things beyond our control or things that happen upon us. But there's changes to our plans, changes to our lives that can take place because of our own actions, especially when we've overestimated ourselves or thought about ourselves more highly than we ought to. In today's scripture from Matthew 26, you'll hear a story of where Peter overestimated himself. Now, this story may sound familiar. It's known as Peter's denial. But we'll start at verse 33 of the 26th chapter of Matthew's gospel. Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know the man." At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was in high school in the Boy Scout, I went on a camping trip. It was one of our usual weekend camping trips. We went to Elk City State Park. It's a gem of a state park in eastern Kansas if you've never been there. It's a park filled with all kinds of oak trees and the hills, and there's some bluffs that overlook Elk City, a reservoir, and you can see the Elk River. It's really a gorgeous place. I highly recommend visiting if you go through there. But we were on this camping trip with the Boy Scouts. And Elk City is known, in addition to its natural beauty, for its hiking trails. Now, the hiking trails there, I wouldn't say compare in their strenuous nature to what we have in Colorado as far as elevation changes. But there's some ups and downs, and there's some hills, and there's distance. So as Boy Scouts, we decided that we would go on this hike. It was a 9-mile hike. And we would go and enjoy the scenery and enjoy the day. Well, we were not very good Boy Scouts when we set out on this hike. We were not prepared. We didn't have enough water. We didn't have any food, for trail snacks to keep us our energy levels up as we were going. We had gummy bears for snacks. And so we set out on this hike, and it was August. And if you've ever been in eastern Kansas in August, it is hot, it is humid, it might be 90 degrees with a heat index of 120, and this was turning out to be one of those days. So we go out, we're in the heat, we've ran out of water, the gummy bears taste awful, they're even melting at this point, and we decide to go back. We go back to our campsite. And we had told our scoutmasters that we were going out, we were ready to go on this hike. And when we came back, they were not surprised to see that we had returned. They knew we weren't prepared. They knew we were not ready for that hike. And they knew the weather would have been awful for spending that much time, out in the sun and out in that humidity. But they welcomed us back. The guys cooled down and gave us some water. Now, I think about this story, I think about myself as that high school boy who thought so much of my ability, my confidence, I was so confident I could do this, but I had overestimated what I could do. I'd overestimated, my capability with the resources I had, which wasn't much. And because of this, we failed on our hike. We could not finish the hike. When When I think about that experience and other moments in my life and the things that we can experience as humans in our lives, I think of how we overestimate ourselves, how we can overestimate ourselves, how we can think more highly of ourselves, especially when we make plans, especially when we set goals for ourselves. Now, there's nothing wrong with setting goals, nothing wrong with having aspirations or dreams to live into or to work towards. I mean, a lot of things that we do in our lives take time, they take effort, takes energy to get to that point. But a lot of times we end up like this high school boy once upon a time who overestimated, and we struggle, and we find ourselves in a place that we really didn't want to be. Now, when you're thinking about goals and dreams and aspirations, you know, might be thinking about things perhaps you've accomplished or would like to accomplish, you know, perhaps hitting a certain career milestone, graduating with a certain degree from a certain school, or maybe getting out of debt totally, or losing weight. I mean, you can come up with all kinds of these plans, of these goals that we can set in motion to work towards. Again, in and of themselves, they are not bad things. But the challenge for us, I believe, is when we start thinking of ourselves more highly than we should, or we overestimate what we can accomplish. Specifically, when we set goals that are so far and so outrageous for ourselves that we really don't have any real ability to meet those goals. Instead of just simply not meeting those goals because we've set such an outrageous, outlandish bar for ourselves, we've thought about ourselves so highly in obtaining this, that we may have sacrificed things on that road to failure and burning out. We may have, you know, lost relationships. We may have, you know, done things that we're not quite proud of. We may have said things that we weren't proud of. We've done things that did not help us. In fact, we've done things that have harmed us and harmed those plans. Now, when I think about our scripture story, we have Peter, you know, was, you know, the disciple. You know, Jesus refers to him as the rock, you know, that, you know, foundation, you know, very key to Jesus' ministry when he was on this earth. And Peter, you know, was thinking, you know, in this last week that Jesus was on this earth, when Jesus was, you know, living into that, you know, that pageant, the mystery of, you know, that last week of Holy Week. As he's living into that week, he's confident, perhaps overconfident, overestimating his ability. And when Jesus is talking with him, you know, Peter makes that proclamation that he would never deny Jesus, you know, would never, ever do this. But yet Jesus, in the back of his mind, had shared that Peter would deny him. And Peter did. Denied him three times very publicly, you know, very out in the open, people coming up to him, trying to pin him, you know, with Jesus and bringing, you know, statements, you know, eyewitness accounts even in those little statements about Peter's affiliation with Jesus. And Peter denies each and every one of them. And then that cock crows. It crows and Peter realizes that he has denied knowing Jesus. He has denied his Savior. He has denied the Son of God, his friend, his teacher, his traveling companion. This person who is going to face death on a cross, awful death on a cross, Peter had denied him. Now, in some ways, it's understandable why Peter would deny him. He did not want to suffer the same fate as Jesus. Crucifixion is an awful way to die. But because Peter was overconfident and not realistic and thought more of himself than he should have, he really set himself up for failure. He set himself up and into a place where he would break that relationship with Jesus. He would sin. And in that sin of denying Jesus, of lying, he separated himself from, Jesus? Now, if we think about when we've set those goals and those aspirations, those plans for ourselves, when we don't meet those plans or expectations or what we think of ourselves, when we don't hit those things, we find ourselves discouraged, burnt out, broken. And we also might find that we have burned bridges along the way with people whom we loved, who we have cared about, and even with our God. It's highly likely that those plans, those hopes, those dreams that we thought were great and wonderful things, in fact, those were things that became golden calves for us. They were idols for us. They became things that we put all of our energy into that did not give us life, caused us to sin, to be broken, to be separated from our God, from those whom we love. Now, in the middle of all this, though, I do believe there is a chance and hope for us. When we think about the story with Jesus, now later on, after his resurrection, he was on the earth, he saw Peter fishing and called out to him. And so Peter, you know, was fishing, didn't quite realize this, but realized that it was Jesus and realized who it was that was calling out to him. And in that moment when Peter was fishing and Jesus was there on the seashore, in that moment, Peter, I believe, experienced forgiveness, experienced grace. And as Jesus was calling back to him, was being restored and renewed. I believe this exists for us as well, that as we go through our lives and we have thought more of ourselves than we should have, we've overestimated ourselves, we've sinned, we're broken, we're separated from people we love and from our God. I think of Jesus calling back to Peter, of being with Peter, of being present with Peter, and bringing that grace, that new start, that new beginning for Peter. Brothers and sisters, I believe that when we have fallen short and we have sinned, we have thought higher of ourselves, not only does our God remind us of who we are and who we really belong to, our God restores us. Our God gives us another chance to reset, to rethink our goals, to rethink our aspirations and our dreams, and to try again, to move past our sin and brokenness, and to move forward as a faithful people. This happens to us more often than we may want to admit, or it's happened to us more often than we would like. But our God is there with us. Our God forgives us, restores us, and offers that everlasting grace. So, brothers and sisters, as we move forward, know that our God forgives us. Because of the love of Christ, we have that grace, and we have that fresh start. We can reassess our goals, our lives, our plans, whatever we need to readjust so we can be back in that relationship with God, back in that relationship with Christ and with each other. Because it is our God who renews us. It is our God who sets our priorities in the right place. And it is our God who calls out to us and reminds us of that connection and that hope that comes from him, now and forevermore. Amen.